I'm going to pray. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for dying for me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for spoiling me, Lord. Amen. Being in America, Lord, and being in a church, Lord, we have such liberty, God. I ask you not to take advantage of it, Lord. I ask you to just forgive us, Lord, of our sins, Lord. Help us to have a desire to do right, Lord. Help us not to just live by works, Lord. Help us to live through you, God. Help us to get saved, Lord. Without Jesus Christ, our works mean nothing, Lord. Just ask you to please be with me for these few minutes tonight, Lord. And again, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I saw Alex at the door. So I thought if preacher calls somebody, it's me or Eric. And Eric was just a couple days ago, so I might have a shot tonight, amen. All right, so I'm going to do something unorthodox.
No.
Yeah. It's going to be a shock, but I'm going to call a few people out. We're going to participate. Participation. No award or trophy. So I'm going to pick on April 1st. Come on up here, April. When I say things, people get offended, so I'm going to try something new. Let me see if you could read that for me.
Oh, gosh.
Can you read my chicken scratch?
You'd want me to read the whole thing?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I didn't bring my glasses.
Oh, she wasn't prepared. We'll give her a minute. I offended her. She's walking out. You can't read it?
You're going to have her say that?
Yeah. You want to sing
bad
it?
Words? I won't say bad words, even if Brother Ken called me up here. Pastor's sermon aimed at me. My pastor shapes his sermons from A to final Z in clear and forthright language and aims them straight at me. And when he gets to preaching, I look around to see if there might be another deserving more than me. But every soul looks saintly, their hearts to heaven turn, while I, in my conviction, can only sit and squirm. You know, I often wonder if I should miss a day, would he, without his target, have anything to say? I'm not to be offended that he called me up to read that. Not one bit.
So why'd I call April? I'm going to call some other ladies because I've learned at Faith Baptist, pastor's always saying the ladies, the women, the mothers, and I'm always thinking, there's guys doing stuff, but I realize what it is. The ladies truly have thicker skin than most of the guys do in the church.
Right.
It's sad. So when pastor called my name, I got excited, and I thought, what am I going to do? I'm terrified. And I thought, everyone's praying, because pastor says, Brother Ken. Right away, everyone starts praying. Lord, help him lose his voice. Lord, come back now. Lord, power failure, tornado, earthquake, anything, Lord, please. So, see, a few people thought that, amen. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about prayer.
Amen.
So we're going to go over some different things. And I think, it might have been Brother Mike a while ago. Let's go over to Romans real quick. Guys, you're getting a taste of what's in my mind. So I'm sorry. It is a scary place, amen. So we're only going to be in Romans for a second, and then we're going to go. Brother Mike actually used I had my junior church message all together here for this morning, and Brother Mike went in to Philippians 4, verse 6. So before I go there, actually, I can't even find where I'm at. Romans 10. Most of you guys know this verse, but 10:13. So I'm going to get some more help here. I'll get a Sister April Tuck. You want to come up here and read it? It's an April thing.
Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. Something different, I know, keeps your attention, keeps Bryce awake, but he's not in here. Mike said I was doing a great job. Amen. So Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's a, I don't know why in some Bible-believing churches that's a big verse people want to fight or argue over. Let's just keep it simple. Can't say stupid because people get upset by it. So let's just kiss with one ass, I guess. Keep it simple. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I never really prayed as a child or a young adult. I think I was talking to myself. Bro, Mike talked about that once, and I thought he was crazy, and I've been praying about it for a while, and I really didn't know God, and God wasn't really listening to me. At times I was talking to God, I thought, but really I was talking to the God I had at that time, which was me. And I knew it was I was my God, because when I wanted something, I would talk to myself about it, and if I didn't have the cash, I'd swipe the credit card. I was very carnal as a lost person. And what I wanted, I wanted. I deserved it. It was mine. I'm going to get it. I didn't care. I was going to work for it. I schemed away. And I would talk to myself and pray to myself. And I thought I was talking to God, but my God was me. My prayer life wasn't real because I didn't know the true God. And I do believe God answers prayers of the lost, but I believe he only answers one prayer of the lost, the salvation prayer. I think he answers all the others by ignoring them or saying no. But you can show me Bible later and we can argue. I won't get upset. But I wanted to talk about prayer and prayer in my life. And Romans, I don't want to walk around, but I'm going to stay still here. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember the day. I remember hundreds of Chick Tracks, reading them, muting the TV as Mike Mussina was pitching for the Orioles before he became a Yankee. And he's probably retired and dead now. It was a long time ago. But I remember reading all these tracks at night, my wife thinking that I was watching baseball late at night when I had the TV muted and was just reading these tracks over and over and over again and hoping the people on the track would get saved and thinking the people on the track, why can't they see how bad they are? Why can't they see how they mess up? The whole time lost. And I remember on a Monday in 2003, October, November, I don't know the day after a lot of time of talking to my cousin Ro and my sister Rebecca. I remember being, it was a Monday at work, deciding I just need to go home, that I was going to just explode and end up in hell that very second. I had an 800 credit score, had a six-figure income. I was doing okay. And I helped old ladies across the street. I fixed widows' windows and roofs for, you know, illegals that were buying houses. I did whatever I could. Any good work out there I could do. If I could do it, I'd do it. Because, you know, I wanted my good to outweigh my bad. But it wasn't the tracks. It was the scripture in the tracks. It was that scripture that got me under conviction. Amen. And made me realize I was a sinner. And all my righteousness was filthy rags that I thought I had. And I was no good. And I needed Jesus Christ. I remember going home, and for the first time in, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, my uncle can tell you our family was a little rough. I didn't cry. By the time you're, you know, early teenagers, you're not allowed to cry. You don't have time for that. You're busy. My family were workers and tried to push that onto us, and we don't work, of course, as hard as the generation before us, but I was bitter and angry. I was angry at my mom and my dad and my family for everything. Half of it was made up. You tend to believe your own lies after a while. Because a lot of times, as I said, I was praying to myself. I was talking to myself. You know, me having a conversation with myself isn't prayer, guys. That's you talking to yourself. Before Bluetooth, it wasn't a good sign that you talked to yourself. But I remember that Monday going to my house and dropping on my knees and crying for the first time. And I remember asking the Lord to come in my heart and save me. And I asked him to forgive me of my sins. And I had to humble myself just to admit I was a sinner, which I already knew. But then I had to admit that I needed Jesus Christ. And I repented. I turned from my way of thinking. I didn't get clean. I didn't give up every sin in the world. I didn't become perfect overnight. I'm still not. But that was the first big prayer I remember, was getting saved. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. I'm going to pick on Laura Morsberger next. I'm going to ask her to come up. Why am I having ladies come up? First of all, no matter what I say, some of you are going to turn me off or get upset. But maybe if the ladies come up here and read some Bibles, you'll get upset at them instead of me, or you're listening, man.
We can take it if you're upset at us, so it's okay. Philippians 4:6?
Yes, ma'am. And 7.
And 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
So, Brother Mike, as I said, mentions in Sunday school, be careful for nothing. And he spoke about, we're not supposed to be full of care. We're not supposed to lay on the railroad tracks and be idiots, but we're not supposed to be stressed out and depressed and upset all the time and worried. The Lord's in control. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So my first prayer was really salvation. My next time I prayed really earnestly was a little over a year after that, I guess a year and a half, when my wife finally got pregnant. We were excited. She was pregnant. We hadn't changed a whole lot from time we were saved, first gotten saved, to my wife getting pregnant. We had stopped one or two little things. I think we had gotten rid of, I'm going to offend some of you guys here. I'm smiling. We got rid of some music and some Halloween and some movies and stuff like that because it was wrong. And my pastor told me it was, and I believed him, and I read it in my Bible. So we got rid of some little things. We wanted to make a change. We didn't know what. We saw the guy always in the white shirt, always happy, people stabbing him in the back. He pulled it out, gave him the knife again. Can I pay your electric bill? Can I buy you food? Can I help you? I'm like, why would he do that? And he had a love for the Lord, and he wanted to love people. And he always say, I don't want to be their stumbling block. I'm going to love them and love them, and the Lord will give them enough rope to hang themselves. And I realized he was praying for people. And when you pray for people, you tend to forgive them quick and get over things. And my wife gets pregnant. We're still slowly giving up things and trying to do better. And we had just given up, I guess, a couple more things when she finds out she's pregnant, so that was a good thing. And most of you know we had trouble. I gained a lot of weight with pregnancy. And the doctor, they didn't like the idea of my wife and I having a child. So they wanted to terminate or do an abortion. They had some different issues or fears. And we told them, no, it took us this long to have a kid. Only God can have it. You know, if God wants the baby, God can take the baby. We're not giving it up without a fight. We didn't tell anybody. I think we may have told our pastor, nobody else. All we did is just pray every day. We had no idea how to pray. The only prayer I'd ever prayed before, the real prayer, was in tears, not running everywhere, knowing I deserved to go to hell because I was a bad person and my good works weren't enough compared to Jesus, and I needed Jesus Christ. So I was saved. I didn't have a prayer life. So here I am praying for almost 20 weeks, the last 20 weeks of my wife's pregnancy, about my daughter. You probably heard the abortion word more than a dozen times, and just the attitude the doctors had, and they're just lost people, you know, who believe in science and don't know what bathroom to use. But, you know, we look up to people like that for some reason. We trust and respect their authority. But my wife and I, the pastor told us, he said, you know, doctors run a practice. Why is it we put so much faith in the people of this world, whether they're politicians or teachers or doctors or lawyers? I'm not saying they don't have a purpose and a use. We put so much faith in them and such little faith in the Word of God. And that time got my wife and I praying and crying together. And we prayed a lot. I can go through a million stories with finances and how the Lord worked a million things out for us, but we don't have time for all that. But just prayer and spending time with our daughter. We didn't know if it was a boy or girl at the time. We didn't want to test on. We wanted to wait until she was born. When she was born, whatever sex she was the sex she was going to be. She wasn't going to have a choice in it. So we wanted to be surprised. She was born healthy. So we taught her to pray. We'd sit down. We had our crazy pastor. We took go to him and say, Pastor, we're not making any money. We're struggling. We can't pay our bills. What are we doing? And he'd say, get your daughter to pray over your bills with you. I'm like, what? She's a child. You don't tell kids about money. Kids are just supposed to shut up and be seen, not be heard. That's the way I was raised. I'm like, all right. So my daughter, she might have balanced my checkbook when she was five. I don't know. But since she was young, she's been involved. She knows our finances. And you know what? On looking back, it's a blessing. Because if it's you guys, I'm sorry. I haven't seen any of you. But I hate it when I see parents in the store and their kids are crying for something in the checkout line. It's one of my pet peeves. It drives me crazy. My daughter never, not because she was sweet or an angel, she knew we couldn't afford the junk. She knew that dollar was going to add up every week or that $4, whatever it was. She never was bugging us for food and stuff because she knew it was a struggle just to get the groceries we had at times, just to pay the bills we had. We kept her involved in life. Train up a child in the way they should go when they're old enough to depart from it. I wanted her to understand what life is. Now, of course, some of the filth of the world we kept back until she had questions in her Bible reading or a lot of questions at church. Then we had to explain things to her. And it was a lot of prayer. But we tried to teach our daughter, and we made a lot of mistakes, I'm sure, but we tried to teach her to pray and teach her she's got to have a life of prayer with the Lord. And I'm going to ask Miss Holly to come up next. And I just got the look. And read this. She'll know when she gets up here what this is about. This has been in my Bible for probably over 10 years. If you can read it.
Oh. Dear Dad, I love you so much, Dad. I've been thinking we should get a farm now from Michaela.
So Michaela had just learned to write, and she was in Miss Holly's Sunday school class, and Miss Holly would tell us she was praying for a farm. We never even mentioned the word farm back then. Michaela wanted a farm. Like every little girl, she probably meant a horse farm, but she was not specific in her prayer. So God knows the intents of our hearts, but he knows what we can handle. So I kept that, Miss Holly. I don't remember if you remember that, talking about that. It's probably been over 10 years, I'd guess, maybe, that my daughter was praying for a farm. There was no way in the world's eyes, you know, the same world that told us to have an abortion, the same world that told me my works is all that matters, not my soul. That same world said there's no way on paper you're going to get a farm. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, whatever. I mean, we are taught at this church a lot of times, Old Testament, New Testament, we can learn from a lot of things. The Old Testament talks a lot about not being a carnal person and not always getting for yourself and putting things off so you have it for a later day. Well, the Lord saw fit. We could lose it tomorrow, but we did the impossible through prayer. We got a farm. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense. I called Pastor up and told him what I was praying about. I said, Pastor, I'm praying about this. Sorry, I said, I apologize to the pastor. I said, Pastor, I'm sorry. We're going to stick around for a while. We're looking at buying property. And, you know, Pastor cried and prayed for a while. But we told him we were going to stay around for a while. And I told him we're praying about either trying to buy an acre of land and have a house on it or buy a farm. And he bust out laughing. It's like, you just lost your mortgage business, crashed in the market in Florida. You had all these things fall apart. He's like, whatever you touch turns to mud. You're the opposite of the Midas man. That's the Allen Ryman I know. But I love him, and he supported me. I knew his heart, but he was telling me, there's no way any bank's going to approve you. You had a forced foreclosure on your credit that we didn't even know about at the time. We had all these obstacles. There's no way we could have gotten approved for a loan. And by prayer, we did. And it was a miracle. I mean, we all have our own little stories and little things, but I don't have a lot of time. I just wanted to talk to you guys about prayer. And I want you guys, I don't think you realize how important prayer is. I think a lot of times, and again, I'm going to pick on Brother Mike. He said this, and I got mad at him, and I went home, and I was praying about it and thinking about it, and I started thinking, I think he's right. And that made me even madder. Because those few times really bug me now. But next time I'll have April to say it, and then I'll take it. So I think a lot of times people pray to themselves. Think about it. You are your God. When you want something, boom, man, your MasterCard gets pulled out. You know, that Visa to take you to that high feeling place. You discover all kinds of stuff, whatever card it is. Every time you use that card, it doesn't glorify God. That's your flesh. I'm not saying your kid's dying of cancer and you're buying the drug to get them better. But I know my flesh. It was always me, 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 me. And one little thing I've learned from a little bit of Bible reading is there's never any true worship without sacrifice. And if I can't sacrifice something fancy or pretty or new, you know, if I can't give that up because I want it and I deserve it, because my wife or daughter need shoes or need food or need clothes, if I can't put my flesh down and sacrifice, I'm never going to have true worship. I know I keep spitting in this thing. But and I just through junior church, I talked to the kids about, I got 3 pages. I can't go through all that. In junior church, I have like 3 hours of time, but not up here. So just different stories in the Bible. They're examples to us. David, well, participation, guys. David in the Bible. What was David in the beginning? Shepherd. He was a nobody. The youngest, nobody, just out there taking care of the animals, just really doing nothing. David got involved with the Lord, started singing to the Lord, praying to the Lord. And David's one of my favorite people in the Bible because he does mess up, and that's not why he's my favorite. I think a lot of you guys miss this. You focus on David's faults, and it justifies your sin because it's not quite that bad. But what you don't see is when David makes a mistake, he gets it right. That's a real man. He can say he's sorry. I can see David talking to his sons and talking to Bathsheba at times and saying, I messed up. I mean, he told his servants he messed up and what he deserved. I'm sure he spoke to his wife and kids. And what I ask is for some of you spouses in here, are you praying for your spouse? Yeah. Not praying that they'd be perfect like you are, but are you praying for them? Because a lot of your spouse's problems are you. A lot of your kids' problems are you. And none of you guys want to admit it. And we've got sometimes 40-some kids over there in junior church. And I know there are some bus kids that have bad lives. But see, some of the bus kids' parents don't know how to hide it like the church kids' parents do. But kids aren't stupid. They look at mom and dad about how hard mom and dad or how serious mom and dad are about church and the Bible. They don't see mom and dad reading the Bible a lot. They don't hear mom and dad quoting the Bible a lot. They hear mom and dad at home, the fighting, the arguing. It's rough in junior church. I've got to train the kids. Don't get into personal stuff. Just say pray for mom or dad. No, just say pray for family. Just say pray for brother, pray for sister. We don't want details. Because like Pastor did this morning, you can get a lot from kids. And not all of it's true. But kids grow up. And who's their example? Their parents. Yep. If you look at your kids and you see something you don't like, it's the mirror. It's you. Through prayer, the best thing to do, say I'm sorry and try to do better.
That's right.
And I think that's what David did. He tried to make amends. He told God it was his fault. He was told, thou art the man. He's a man. And I'm going to pick on the men in the church for a second because you're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of your home. So start acting like it. Be a man. And I know we were joking earlier about Josiah coming up here and the different kids telling their moms to stand now. A real husband, and Pastor jokes, and you guys know he's joking, but a real man isn't going to treat his wife like a dog.
That's right.
A real man isn't going to treat his kids like stepping stones.
That's right.
A real man's going to love the Lord and be willing to sacrifice of himself.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about 40 hours or 60 hours on a clock. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about at the park. I'm talking about walking on a stupid beach or watching some stupid Hallmark movie once in a blue moon. Whatever it is, you know, sacrifice something for your kids. Because I tell you right now, I've only got one, but I've watched a lot go through this church. And you're not giving them the attention they need or they think they need. The world's going to give it to them. And the world's going to take them. And you're not praying for them. What you're doing is, oh, God, this person needs to do what I think, and they need to get right because I think this and I think this. Maybe you'll start realizing you're just talking to yourself. You're not praying. You're not praying to a God who died for them. They mean something to them. And he wants it to mean something to us. And I'm sorry, my eyes, I'm going everywhere. I got a million scriptures, but Daniel, I know you have it bad. You get it bad, you know, all this free money. I mean, there's nobody wanting in America. I know people are saying all this. There are so many people out there hiring right now, but nobody wants a job because they're getting all this free stuff from the government. There's very few people. There's homeless guys on the street making money, monthly from the government, food stamps, buying plenty of booze. I know Joe and Eric a year or two ago met a guy. He was making, I don't know if it was $1,400 or $1,600 a month from in benefits just from the military, not counting any food and all this other stuff. But he didn't want help. He was stuck. Do you want help? Are you stuck? I challenge you. I know one of the ladies told me there was a challenge for some ladies to give up social media for like a week or two just to see if they could do it. I would challenge you to give up on yourself for a while and just pray. Because I know in my flesh, that credit card fixes things quick, I think. And then I've got the battle and the stress and the fight later. And I think of Daniel, and I would tell the kids in your church, and I ask you guys, what did Daniel get in trouble for? For praying. Is that your fear? You're afraid if you pray, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den? I know America's a horrible place, we think. Look at everybody in here in church tonight on a Sunday night. How many people had to get through roadblocks to get here? How many people have armed guards shooting at them and all these crazy things? Shut up. It's America. We may not like who's president this week or next week. We don't have it that bad. Maurice has places where the cops are shooting at people. Yes, there's one or two cops on the news today shooting at one or two thugs that have criminal records that are resisting arrest and causing trouble. It's horrible anybody dies. But if a cop tells you to stand still, just stand still. There's enough cameras out there. You'll win your money in court and you'll be alive. So I'm not saying that cops should kill someone for no reason, but cops are not that bad. People are bad. Nobody's praying anymore. Years ago, the gangbangers and the troublemakers and all that I'd run into, they always had aunts or aunties and grandmothers praying for them. I don't know if who's praying now. So here's Daniel. We'll go through the story. You guys hopefully read your Bible. Daniel's praying. He started praying before trouble came. So when trouble came, it was no problem. He just prayed.
That's right.
So I want to know, I guess a question for you guys is, are you praying? And Lord, bless this food before we eat. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye. Not really a prayer. You know, a prayer is a solemn address to a supreme being,
amen,
the dictionary says. It's consisting of adoration, an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfection, confession of our sins,
amen,
supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. So I'm going to challenge you to think of your prayer life. Pastor said for years, who's getting down on, you know, on their knees every night before bed and praying? And everybody raises their hand. And I've had to examine my prayers over the last few years about what am I praying for? What are you praying for? God, give me. God, help me. God, I need. God, I think this person. What do you think you're supposed to pray for? It's in the book. I'm not willing to spend the time. We were just talking earlier, and I don't care if you're on social media or all that crap, whatever excuse you have. Do what you want. It's America. You still can. But I've had people tell me, I don't have time to read my Bible. I've asked them for their phone, and they were on social media that day for almost 8 hours. Well, it's only 5 minutes here, brother, and 6 minutes here, brother, and 5 minutes here, and 3 minutes here, and 2 minutes here. So what if you can only read it? Chapter before work, a chapter at break, a chapter at lunch, a chapter when you get home, a chapter with your kids. You're getting 5 to 6 chapters in. That's reading your Bible twice in a year. You can't just get a chapter in. I have kids in junior church that can barely read, that are trying to read. You can't get a chapter in? Brother, you're making me feel bad. Go max your credit card out and buy something. You'll feel happy, I guess. I don't know what else to say. That's the attitude I get a lot of times at church. You know what I mean? I don't care if you have a credit card or don't have a credit card. Trust me, if anyone should go to hell for having debt, I probably got you all beat. I'm going to be in hell for debt. I've got too much. I'm against it. You know what I mean? So I just want you to focus. And if you don't like what I'm saying, then pray for me. Amen? But Esther, you guys know the story of Esther. I hope you do. It's a really short book, guys. Really easy read. Please, I don't care if there's a movie or cartoon on it. Read the Bible. See what the Bible says. You can watch the other stuff for entertainment, but it's not Bible. Esther's in a place God puts her in. She's not comfortable. She's given the world. Those of you that have social media, look at the rest of the world. You're in a place where you have everything you need.
That's right.
Esther's put in a situation finally where she sees her family and her friends are about to get killed and hurt, and she has to make a decision to fast and pray. She doesn't pray fast. She fasts and prays, amen. If you're really paying attention, that's pretty cool. If you're really paying attention, your church family is in need of prayer. They're dying off quick. I mean, look around. How many people were here 6 months ago? I guess it's hard with COVID, but we had some people that were coming during COVID that aren't coming now. We had people during COVID that were all guns a-blaring, I'm going to go to church by God no matter what, blah, 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 blah. Where are they at? We're going to go to the mountains. We're going to have church. Or we're going to do right and do this and do that. Where are they at? Where are you going to be at? The people that are out right now, I guarantee if you asked them 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I'll never be out. I'll never be out. I don't think they're praying. And I think, why aren't people praying? I think the biggest reason is you're not reading.
Read 1 Timothy 2.
All right, 1 Timothy 2.
1 through 3.
Yes, sir. 1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 through
3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll give you guys a second. Here's some pages turning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's an awesome verse, guys. There are awesome section of verses there. Everybody just wants to be found acceptable. That's all you got to do. So I'm not going to go through the rest of this. I don't have time. I went way off track. But it's always different in my head because I guess it's me I'm talking to. But, all right. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for being so good to me, God. I just thank you for pricking my heart, Lord, all those years ago, God, to help me to realize that my good works and what the world thinks of me, Lord, and what the creditors think of me or what my coworkers think of me had nothing to do with my eternal soul, Lord. I thank you for my cousin Roe and my sister Rebecca, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Ryman, Lord, for praying and not giving up on me, Lord, and wanting to tell me the truth, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you convicted me of my sins, Lord, and helped me to realize I was a sinner, which I knew, and helped me to believe that you died and rose again for me, Lord, on the third day, Lord. I just thank you for dying for me so I don't have to go to hell, Lord. I thank you for saving my wretched soul. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the little bit of praying, Lord, you've shown me, Lord. I know I need to do a lot more, God. I ask you, please, to help my church family, Lord. I know I'm sometimes a little rough or taken wrong, God. I do love every person in this room, Lord. I ask you, please, to protect them, Lord, and any that feel a shame or a guilt or a conviction, Lord, by you, Lord, I ask you to get them right, Lord. I can be a target. I don't care, Lord. I want my church to grow. I'm tired of seeing people fall away and just quit up and leave. I'm tired of seeing kids, Lord, just seeing the fakeness and the lies and just walking out of church, Lord. We're all messed up, Lord. We're all messed up, Lord. Help us just to be honest about it. Help us to want to change. Help us to reach out and get help, Lord, through other brothers and sisters, Lord, not on social media, Lord, but face-to-face with the Bible and with our pastor's wife, Lord. Help us just to want to do right. God, please help us to read your word, Lord. For anyone struggling reading, Lord, help them just to take 5 minutes, Lord, tomorrow morning, Lord, just to read their Bible. Lord, if it's just a proverb a day for a start, Lord, we can do more, God. We have all these ministries. Brother Mike was going through a million different things this church does, Lord. None of it means anything, Lord, if we're not reading their Bible. Lord, none of them means anything if we don't know how you want us to live, Lord. It doesn't matter what the Kardashians say, Lord. It matters what your book says. Help us to know more about your book than the latest new song, Lord. Help us know more about your book than the latest new sports trade or latest new actor or whatever it is out there now that people like, Lord. Please, God, I ask you just to protect our hearts, protect our minds, Lord. Help us to have a desire, Lord. Help us never to be in a need where we're going to have to pray for something fearful or serious or scary, Lord, help us to learn to pray now. Things are easy. Again, I love you. I thank you for saving me, Lord. I ask you to save that soul nearest to hell, Lord. Again, I just love you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not saved by being...